This is Doug Miller. God has in Elihu a spokesman, one who will talk for him. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are here one more time with the Word of God in hand. We are going to jump ahead. We were in the 33rd chapter of Job last time. We're going to jump up to the 36th chapter today and go on with some more of Elihu, the young man's answer to Job. And at this point, we are going to see Elihu boldly take up the tale and talk on the behalf of God. Now, it's very interesting to see what we've got here. So bring your Bibles, come along, and call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to this end, we require the support and the efforts of God's people. So, pray for Dialogue. You hear me say this a lot, and rightly so, because without the prayers of the saints, Dialogue will be absolutely of no value to anyone. It will just be me up here making noise. Your prayers are essential to anything that we can do or have done or might even consider doing about getting this word out. So pray for Dialogue. Tell others about us. And we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Always a pleasure to hear from our listeners, to answer your questions, help you in any way we can, encourage you in any way we can, and or just to hear from you. Know where you are and that you're listening. So write to us. If you wish to email, we have an email address. It's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Our webpage, all one word, all small letters, dialogueministries.org. Okay. And by the way, Dialogue, in case you're going to have to spell it out, D-I-A-L-O-G-U-E. You got to put the U-E on the end or you won't get this guy here. Okay. All right, let's see what else. I've got a telephone. Be glad to talk to you if you want to call. Our number is area code 405-535-9089. And if you, you'll get a message. You'll get a message. It's going to be me, and I'm going to tell you to leave your number, and I'll get back with you. And I will. Okay. I believe that takes care of the preliminaries. Let's get into the Word of God. 36th chapter of Job, we have this man, Elihu, this very interesting young man, who has set himself, as it were, against Job and his three friends and said in so many words, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Now, if you're going to take that position, you had better demonstrate that you do. And friends, Elihu does. And what does this tell you? Well, it tells you this, if nothing else. No matter who and what you are, no matter how old you are or how young you are. You can, in fact, know about God. And as we saw last time, you're going to know about God by spending time in His Word, spending time with Him. If you will notice now, we saw the last time we were in here, Elihu saying, now, Job, what you have said is this. I said at that time, Job, if Elihu's got it wrong, here was his chance to correct him. Here was his chance to come forward and say, no, now you misunderstood me. Job doesn't do that. It is not recorded anywhere that Job corrects Elihu in his understanding of what he, Job, has said. Now we've got another one. Now Elihu is going to speak for God. It is very significant that God does not correct or rebuke Elihu. When we get to the end of this book, God has some very hard things to say about both Job and Job's three friends, but He never says a word against Elihu. Ergo, what can I assume? Same thing as with Job. What Elihu says about God has got to be correct, because God certainly could have rebuked him if he had wanted to. Let's pick it up in Job 36:1. Elihu also proceeded and said, suffer me a little, and I will show thee that I have yet to speak on God's behalf. Man, you know, Peter, back in his first letter in the fifth chapter, says, if any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. The prophets in the Old Testament, what is that term that they used over and over? Thus saith the Lord. When someone presumes to speak on God's behalf, they had better know what they're talking about. Because otherwise, you know what you are? You're a false prophet. And I don't mind telling you that there are people on television and on the radio and everywhere else that are simply false prophets. They are teaching falsely. And our churches are pastored many times by people who, quite frankly, don't believe anything at all. I don't know why they're in the ministry. I know there's a story I've told on here before, and I'm getting ready to tell it again. A true story. I was, when I was 22 years old, I was on my way to Europe aboard a Holland American ship, and I met on that ship a preacher. He was a Congregationalist minister, and he was going over to England he and a church over there, a Congregational church, had traded pastors. The pastor over there was coming to his church for a year, and he was going over there for a year. And a very personable, intelligent, kind elderly gentleman, and he and I walked the decks, you know, with the ocean spreading out all around us, and had many interesting conversations. One day he said to me, we were talking about whether or not God existed, and he said, I believe in eternal life, but only because I believe in God. And I said, well, of course you believe in God. You're a minister, pastor. Oh, he said, I know a lot of ministers in churches who don't believe in God. I said, you got to be kidding me. Now, here I was, 22 years old and dumb as a log. You got to be kidding me. I mean, I was genuinely stunned. They are pastors in churches and they don't believe in God. What are they in the ministry for? And he said, well, it's strictly a social thing with them. They think that they're helping people and so on and so forth. They're not helping people, friends. They are not helping people. And when you stand up in that pulpit, you had better understand something. James said, if any man that be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. The Lord Jesus said, every idle word that men speak, they will give an account thereof in the day of judgment. There is a day of judgment coming. And when you stand up in the pulpit before a congregation of people, you had better be sure that what you are saying is the truth. And a bunch of you out there, I don't know how to say it, so I'll just say it. You are liars. And you will, you'll give an account. Now, and don't think that this guy talking to you right now is can escape this. I will give an account for what I said on here. And it had better be true. Now, here's this man, Elihu, and he is about to talk for God. I will, he says in verse 3, fetch my knowledge from afar and will ascribe righteousness to my Maker. Oh, good for you. I like this guy. For truly my word shall not be false. He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. Behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with kings are they on the throne. Yea, he doth establish them forever, and they are exalted. And if they be bound in fetters and be holden in cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work and their transgressions that they have exceeded. Now, this young man, once again, has a lofty and a mighty and a wonderful knowledge of God. And he, you know, he says, I'm speaking on God's behalf. Here he is talking for God, and ultimately it's excellent to see him doing this. Because, you know, he can go on, and I mean, Job's friends, and I said it last time, and, you know, not to belabor a point, but allow me to belabor a point here. They spent much of their time talking about how slimy Job is. Well, that's, you know, a little of that goes a long way. What is God? Those of you who are listening to me, I want you to listen carefully. It is very important that you understand the nature of God and who and what God is. And there is only one way that you're going to understand it. And that is, as we saw the last time, through God's Word. If God doesn't reveal himself, then you're not going to understand God. You can tell me all you want. Well, I think God is so-and-so. Well, the guy next to you says, well, I don't think that. I think such and such. And you get all these opinions out there, and you know what these things are? It's idolatry. You create a God that you think you can live with, and you feel very comfortable with God. And in fact, if you reject the God of this book that I'm holding and talking to you out of, then you will, in all probability, wind up in eternal, everlasting perdition. You had better find out who and what God is. So let me tell you a little bit about God. And let me tell you what Elihu says about God. First off, first thing to understand, God is absolutely holy and absolutely righteous. There is no evil in him, no wickedness, no shadow of turning. All this nonsense that you may have heard, you know, about the dark side of the Force and how it seduced Darth Vader. The Force? Let me tell you something. Yahweh Elohim is the only true God, and there is no other God. And there is no dark side to him. James said, and he says it very clearly, in him there is... He is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. This is God. God is absolutely and utterly righteous. And God is absolutely love. Now, this is the one that, I mean, everyone out there, if they believe in God or some God, if they're going to create a God in their own image, which is what many people are doing, this is the one they usually lay hold on. God is love. God loves me. God loves you. God loves everyone, and so on and so forth. I had a guy tell me one time, nowhere in the Bible does it say God hates anyone. Oh, really? You ever read the 5th verse of the 11th Psalm? The Lord trieth the righteous, But the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Yeah. How you like that one? Is God capable of hate? Oh, with a burning, righteous hatred. Whom does he hate? The wicked and those who do violence. That's what the book says. So God's love, his perfect, eternal, undying love, is set off against this other side of his character. There are things that God says he hates. And he says it very clearly. Now, you know, God is a God of eternal, everlasting justice. His word reveals this. And he has said very clearly that his eyes are too pure and too holy to behold sin, to look upon sin. God is both loving and kind, and he sent his son to die, but the very fact that he allowed his son to come under judgment tells you what God thinks about sin. Now, Elihu understands this about God. He understands God's love, but he also understands God's righteousness. And some of you out there, you're laying hold on the love and running away from the righteousness. And why are you doing this? Well, let me tell you why you're doing it. You know, I'm not utterly stupid. You're doing it because you don't want anyone to tell you that anything you're doing is wrong. You know, don't tell me that I'm doing wrong. Okay, I won't tell you you're doing wrong. And you can ride that one only so far, and you will wake up in a lost eternity, and you will remember, perhaps, this broadcast that you heard today. You think about it. Let's see what else Elihu has to say here. He goes on, and he says, he openeth, well, let's see. Let me pick it up again in verse 7. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with kings are they on the throne. I read this already, but we'll hear it again. Yea, he doth establish them forever, and they are exalted. And if they be bound in fetters and be holden in cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work and their transgressions that they have exceeded. Now, in a sense, Job is right now bound in fetters and in affliction. And God is indeed going to show him what his problems are. The most righteous man on earth, and yet, still a sinner. And God in his love and mercy is going to deal with him. Look at verse 10. He openeth also their ear to discipline, and commandeth that they return from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. Now, I don't know how else to tell you this. If you are out there and you are unsaved, or you're not sure whether or not you're saved, you may be thinking in terms of, well, let's see now. What, I'll just be a good guy, and then God will bless me, and the stock market will fluctuate profitably for me, and I'll make a lot of money in my business, and so on and so forth. And then if it doesn't happen, you say, well, I knew I couldn't trust that. Listen, the first thing you've got to get settled is whether or not you are saved or lost. And if you are lost, you need to believe the gospel and be saved. And if you are saved, you need to understand that what God is doing in your life, he is building something for eternity. And he is doing it for his pleasure. And he is forming you and conforming you to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and he is going to fill you with Christ. He began the good work in you, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, and he is working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now things may get rough, but he will bring it to pass. Look at verse 13 of Job 36. The hypocrites in heart heap up wrath. The hypocrites in heart. They cry not when he bindeth them. They die in youth, and their life is among the unclean. He delivereth the poor in his affliction and openeth their ears in oppression. Now, the poor here, let's realize and understand who they are. The poor are not those who don't have large bank accounts. The poor are not those living down here in huddles, in hovels, or rather, and in lean-tos, and, you know, who are on welfare. That's not what he's talking about here. The poor are those who recognize and realize that they are poverty-stricken vis-a-vis a righteous God. There's nothing they can bring, you know, in their hands that will satisfy God. They need help. They recognize, and that's what he's talking about here. He openeth their ears, even so would he have removed thee out of the strait into a broad place where there is no straitness. And that which should be set on thy table should be full of fatness. But thou hast fulfilled the judgment of the wicked. Do you hear me, Job? Judgment and justice take hold on thee. Oh, man. Here is a man who God said is the most righteous man who ever lived. And here we see another side of his character. And once again, God never corrects Elihu. He never says that Elihu is wrong. Job, in his behavior, once all these problems came down on him, Job has shown a side of his nature that, did God know it was there? Yeah, God knew it was there. You know who didn't know it was there? Job didn't know it was there. Just the other day, I was involved in a little incident with my wife, actually, and I behaved in a way that was not very nice, and I apologized to her, and I said, you know, this side of my character, it's always going to be there, I guess. And it doesn't take much to bring it out, does it? And she said, no, it doesn't. And she said, I've got the same thing. You know, it seems to me in my life, at least, that every time I, for any reason or any way, shape, form, or fashion, have begun to think of myself as some kind of a good guy, hasn't taken long for God to show me just how bad I am and can be. And self-righteousness is something that God hates. And that's exactly what Job has been involved in. Look at this. There is wrath, says Elihu to Job. Beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Will he esteem thy riches? No, not gold, nor all the forces of strength. Desire not the night when people are cut off in their place. Well, why would he say that to Job? Because Job has said more than once that he wanted to die. Don't do that. Don't do that. Take heed. Repent is the general idea here. Dying is not the answer. The answer is to repent and believe God and allow him to have his way and his finished work in your life. What about you? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.